Well, hello, good morning. It's great to see you. Welcome to Audacious Church once again. My name is Josh. If I know you, then I'd love to come and give you a hug wherever you are. If I've never met you before, again, my name is Josh and part of the team here at Audacious Church Manchester, the best and greatest city and church in the world. Without doubt, 13 years ago now, 13 years, oh my gosh, I moved up a few hours up north from the Midlands to make Manchester my home to be a part of Audacious College. I know we've just seen an incredible video there, so a massive encouragement wherever you're watching from, whoever you are, young and old, you know, new in your faith or even older in your faith, a real big encouragement because for me, Audacious College was an incredible 2 years of my life that is massively, who I am now is massively indebted to those 2 years and the amazing environment that is created through giving some space to God and some amazing lecturers and leaders. So a big encouragement. After this service, go and find out a little bit more information about this. But as I said, 13 years ago, I've been a part of Audacious Church now here and absolutely love it. It is home. And I so wish, again, we could fill this room, but there's a few friends here. And I hope you're ready this morning. Honestly, I hope you're ready this morning. I've got a message and I want to dive in really. But just to honor really our leaders, Pastor Glenn and Sophia, our phenomenal leaders leading us through these last season as well. And all the team, give yourselves a big round of applause. Come on, we want to honor the incredible faithful team and staff and volunteers at our church who week in, week out have been pastorally caring for, delivering meals, holding a camera, doing what we can to bring church to you right now in your bed, on your sofa, in your car, on the train, wherever you might be. So honor you guys and honor you making such a great decision to be a part of Audacious Church and the service this morning. And we've got literally 1 minute. I want to encourage you to invite someone. Right now, inviting someone to church has never been easier. So why don't you shoot a text, write in your WhatsApp group, share the link, whether you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, invite someone to church right now in the next 30 seconds before or as we get into this. But I'm going to open up my Bible. It's already open. The back page is coming off, which is a good sign, right? I was told. Yes. I'm going to read some scriptures and get right into it. This is a word that's been a heavy word. I'm preaching a simple but powerful and an honest message, as I always do. I've got so much Bible, and I really believe there's going to be freedom this morning. There's going to be breakthrough, and God will do what He always does because He's such a good God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 5, the Apostle Paul writing these words to the church in Corinth. He'd been there and now he went away and there were some people who were trying to twist his words, who were trying to pull down his authority. So he wrote this letter to the Corinthians. It says this in chapter 5. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. That's pretty good right there. It's not about me. We preach Jesus Christ is Lord and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, here we go. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, man, we are just like fragile clay pots containing this incredibly great treasure. This makes it clear, undisputable, there's no argument. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. And I love the faith declaration from verse 8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Come on, anyone can testify and agree this morning with Paul. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Come on, there's a praise right now. We're still standing. Friends, Audacious Church, someone needs to write that in the chat. I'm still standing. We get knocked down, but I'm still standing. Get back up again. Verse 10, through the suffering of our bodies, we continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen through our bodies. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And just one more verse, Psalm 34, verse 1, written by David at a time where his life was completely upside down in chaos. It says, I will... Come on, chat, light it up right now. I will praise the Lord at all times. Decided to call this message
praise break.
Praise break. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you. Wow. Right now, we just take a moment, take a breath to just pause and praise. Lord, we thank you so much. You are good. Lord, right now we open up our hearts, we open up our minds. Lord, I pray right now for every person watching. Lord, may you come and speak so clearly. Come and illuminate your word. Come and reveal yourself. In Jesus' name, Lord, we're believing for miracles. We're believing for freedom. We're believing for people to know you this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Brilliant. Well, in the last little while, just take a little sip. Me and my family have been in transition as we have been moving. We thought it was a great idea in the end of 2018 to move house, a house that we'd bought, a miracle house we first got when we were married. And then we've had two little boys. Yes, we've done lockdown. We've been a part of that special category of parents with young children. If you're in that category, then you know what I'm talking about. And my two little boys are absolutely legends. What blessings from the Lord, right? Three and two, my little boys, bundles of joy, always. And we've been kind of going through the last little while renovating, because we had to kind of give you a little bit of context. If we track back to January 2019, okay, way over a year ago, we got an offer and accepted on a house. We also managed to sell our house, but it took about 15 months of an absolute battle of tears, of blood, of sweat, of money, and all sorts, to actually come to a point where we got a completion date. And as the completion date was finally coming, 2 days prior to that, there was the announcement of lockdown in March this year. And we just thought, okay, hang on, let's pray. And nothing, we didn't hear anything. And three times we got told by our agents that this was never going to happen. But by some miracle, God made it happen. Praise Jesus. And so end of March 2020, this year, we completed on our house, which I could affectionately call an absolute hole. It was a bit of a pit, really. And what kind of almost felt like the finish line was actually really just the start line, as we begin to absolutely pull this place apart. Now, I am no tradesman, okay? There's no tradesman in my family. I didn't learn this stuff. Sorry, Dad. Well, Mom, from my family. Although there is one tradesman, kind of. My brother-in-law does have his own DIY channel, DIY Disasters. Some of you maybe in Chester campus know who I'm talking about. My brother-in-law, Pastor Mark. But I didn't really know this stuff. And so as the builders streamed in, as I've kind of been learning all these different words and things like that, I've been plumbing, I have been being a carpenter, I've been bricking, I've been demolitioning, and all this kind of stuff, way out of my depth. But we've kind of been going up until 3 weeks ago, and my family finally moved in. Praise Jesus. And we are in a new home right now. But if I got to be honest, the last, you know, few months and last little while, for sure, I can relate to what Paul is talking about here. Paul, the apostle, if you know anything about him, you know, as soon as he kind of says yes to Jesus, it almost feels like everything kind of goes wrong for him, or at least very right, but also from a natural point of view, goes very wrong. And he calls himself, and he chooses out of anything in the world to describe himself as almost like this fragile clay pot. And as I've been reading these words, I'm like, man, Paul, I completely agree with you. I associate, like, I get you, what you're talking about there. Have you ever felt like just a fragile clay pot? Back in the day, and really what he's talking about is this clay pot that people would have. It's a common household item, or it would have been, and this thing that was quite cheap, it was common, it was easily breakable, but yet Paul made the decision that I'm going to describe myself, I'm going to illustrate myself in compared to God, and fully aware of my weakness, fully aware of my frailty, my humanity. I just feel like a clay pot. And I read those words a while back, and I thought, man, Paul, I know how you feel. I get it. That sometimes I can feel the breaking in life. Sometimes I can feel like myself being stretched beyond what I can have or hold in my capacity. I can feel the breaking, yet still, as David said in Psalm 34, yet I will praise the Lord at all times. And this is the word that I got as I've been preparing this message. Maybe it's for one, or maybe it's for many, but this word kind of dropped into my heart of this broken praise. It's broken praise. Man, I feel the breaking. Man, I feel the challenge. I feel the hits right now, but yeah, I will praise. It's a broken praise.
as an opportunity to create a praise break. Although I feel myself breaking, yet I will praise the Lord at all times. Because see, praise is powerful. Praise helps us to keep our perspective of God. It helps us to see God and reminds us of who God is. Praise is incredible like that. It's so powerful to our lives that it helps us keep our perspective. And in a time, church, and a time and an opportunity where the devil, where the enemy is trying to rob us of our praise, he's trying to disempower us, he's trying to close our mouth and keep the church quiet. It is time right now for the church, for us, for me, to you, to get our praise back and to say, even though I feel the breaking, there is still a reason to praise. Come on, someone, there's still a reason to praise. There is always a reason to praise for the church right now, to get its shout back, to get the roar of victory, of celebration. So no matter how you feel this morning, I want to tell you there is a reason to praise. You may feel the breaking, but there is a reason to praise. You may feel you're at your limits or your frailty, but there is a reason to praise. I just want to really quickly give you three reasons why there's always a reason to praise. You with me? Come on the chat, you with me? Number one, we praise for who he is. We praise for who he is because he is worthy. He is worthy. See, we were created to praise, and everyone is worshiping something. The question is, what are we worshiping? What are we giving our worship to? What are we giving our first, our best, our priority, our focus, our money, our hearts? What are we giving it to? Our lives are so full of our relationships and wives and husbands and friends and work and kids and cars and houses and hobbies and dreams and desires and pain of the past and all this stuff that we can kind of give our first, our best, our worship, our hearts to. Even in today and on today's society and culture, this kind of fame, celebrity culture that we're trying to elevate ourselves to seek the praises of man and worship and be known and be seen and be loved by everybody. Everyone's worshiping something. Question is, what is it? And we can fill our lives with all of this stuff and be so kind of full of all this stuff that we, when it comes to the things of God, we have no appetite. And we become apathetic in the presence and to the things of God. See, it's a bit like a carvery. Have you ever been to a carvery? See, there are people who are like professional carvery eaters, and they go and they know exactly how it works. Adam over here, he's like, yeah, that's on my CV. Professional carvery eater, GCSE. And we go with a plate, no matter how big or small the plate is, and you start with a, you know, a small, simple plate, and it kind of goes up like this and down like that. Then you get to the gravy, and it's just like a gravy waterfall coming down this meat and veg. And you've got to be pretty shameless walking back from a carvery, right? Because no one ever goes twice, maybe Adam. And you go back, and if you can still see the bottom of the plate, then you're doing it wrong. I'm sorry, but you get back, and you feel yourself to bursting. And then even the sight or the smell or the thought of food is just like, I can't, I'm going to burst right now. If I see a piece of food, I'm going to burst right now. But that can be very much like our lives. It can be a description of how we live our lives, so full of all this stuff that we become apathetic to the things of God. But I want to tell you this morning, there is only one thing and one person who is worthy of our praise, who is worthy of our worship. See, most of this stuff isn't bad, but it's just that there's only one person who gets my first, my best, my heart, my focus. See, everything else is good, but there's only one thing. There's only one person who is worthy, and that's my God. That is my God, the only one who is worthy. In Joshua 24, he stands in front of the nation of Israel and say, there's all this stuff you can worship, give your time, your money, your first, when you wake up in the morning, your thought life, your passion, your heart and desires. There's lots of different things. But so today, choose who you're going to serve. Choose today who you're going to worship. But Joshua says, as for me and my household, I'll come on someone who's with your household, sir, madam, father, mother. Someone's going to take a lead right now in your living room and say, as for me and my household, we will right now, we will worship the Lord. We've got a reason to praise, and it's because of who he is. Nothing else compares to him. There's no one else who is worthy of our praise. Only our God is worthy of our praise. See, right now, heaven is worshiping. Heaven is praising. Right now, we read it in Revelation Galatians 4, that day and night, it says the living beings, they cry out, they get a glimpse of God and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Day and night they cry. And the Bible says that every time that they give praise, the 24 elders, they kind of fall to the floor. They lay down their crowns and they say, "Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, God, of all honor, all power, all glory." See, there's this incredible praise going off in heaven. And right now we have an opportunity to join with heaven and saying, "God, there's no one else comparing to you. God, compared to you, there is no other. Only you are worthy of my praise. Only you are worthy. It's not about me, it's about you. Without you, I'm not much, but with you, God, I want to thank you." See, do you know him this morning? Do you know him this morning? Our God, he is an awesome God. He is abundant. He is astounding. He is all powerful. He is almighty. Come on, do you know him this morning? Our God, he is creator and comforter. He is divine and dependable. He is excellent and eternal. He is forgiving. He is flawless. He is good. He is great. He's holy, healer. He's incorruptible. He's infallible, indescribable. He is the great I am. Can I go on? He is loyal. He is love. He is mighty, matchless, merciful. He is more than enough. He is my greatest obsession. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent, all-powerful everywhere. He's passionate, pure, patient, supernatural, and sovereign. He's true and trustworthy. He's undefeated and unchanging. He's the way maker, miracle worker. He's the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is the name above all names. And at his name, my Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that, "God, you are worthy." Oh God, will you just give me one more breath that I could use it to praise you? Come on, church, right now. We're gonna take a praise break in your lounge, in your room, in your car. Come on, somebody. There's a reason to praise right now. Come on, let's take a praise break right now for 5 seconds and just lift our God who is worthy and join heaven. We praise because of who he is. Not just what he can do, but for who he is. Before he does another thing, he is worthy. See, we also praise for all he has done, because he is faithful. See, sometimes I don't feel like praising, if I can be honest. It's not that we ignore our emotions, we just don't let them lead. See, praise is not a preference. It's not a personality type. It's not a tempo, a style of music. It's not a church denomination. It is a decision. It's a choice. It's an overflow. It's a response in light of all that Jesus has done for me. How can I not have a faith that overflows into praise and worship? See, if we've only ever had an encounter with religion, if we've only ever had an encounter with tradition and rules and a set of behavioral patterns, if we've only had an encounter of that, then our praise will be just our preference when we feel like it. But come on, when you've had a personal encounter with Jesus, everything changes. How can I not praise? How can I not shout? A broken praise. We'll sing and shout like no one is watching. It doesn't care what it sounds like. Which is good news for my wife, who has a voice that is indescribable. Man, I know there's going to be healing in heaven, because I'm sure I'm going to be stood next to her in heaven worshiping for eternity. And her voice will be healed in Jesus' name. But what I love about my wife is she doesn't care. She's just like, "God, you swear for everything you've done in my life, I will praise you." I watch my wife praise and she gives her heart, doesn't care what anyone else thinks. See, I love reading about David. David, who as a boy was promised and anointed to be king. In 2 Samuel 6, that we get this picture of then at the end of the promise where David becomes king and David brings the ark of what represented the presence of God into his city, Jerusalem. And it says he danced before the Lord with all his might.
And I reckon in that moment, he thought back to the day that God anointed him and found him out alone, forgotten in the sheep field. And from that moment on, kind of his life going up, but then a dramatic down as he had to escape, run away from his spiritual father, his king, his mentor, his best friend, his family, had to leave everything and go on the run for over 15 years at fear of his life, almost daily thinking, God, what the heck is going on? I just feel my frailty, my weakness. I feel like I'm breaking. Yet when he wrote the first psalm, in Psalm 34, that's in that moment, he says, yeah, I will praise. See, his praise wasn't occasional, it was consistent. And when he got to the other side of it, he just praised with all of his might, not for anyone else. In response to every good and faithful thing God had done, he praised. And as people pointed and laughed at him, being a bit of a joke, he said, yeah, I will praise. My praise will be even greater. I'll be even more indignified than this. See, people are passionate about all sorts of stuff. Crazy stuff, stamps, darts, Pokemon, weather patterns, country music. And if that's your jam, then cool, good for you. See, I'm passionate about lots of things, but there is only one that saves. Come on, I reckon if there's anyone who has an excuse, an opportunity, a reason to praise, it is the Christians who are watching right now who know Jesus. You have a reason to praise because of all he has done, he is faithful. See, passion is as much about jumping high as it is about bowing low. It's as much about shouting as it is about silence and solitude. Passion is to be found, you know, usually at Audacious Church, as much as it is at the front of the praise pit, as it is maybe in your car on a Wednesday drizzly morning when you feel up against it on the front line and you're taking the bullets and you feel the breaking. And when no one else is watching, when you choose to praise in that moment, it's passion. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've had to go into my car and on journeys where, again, I feel the breaking. I just lift this almost broken praise of, man, I'm so aware of my frailty, my weakness, my downcoming, my humanity. But yet, God, I will praise you because of who you are, because of all you have done. Wow. See, sometimes to have faith to move forward, we need to sometimes look back. And when we don't know, what do? We focus on what we do know. And as I read my Bible this week, I've reminded myself what I do know about my God, and I wrote it down. It says, He formed us before we were born. He loved us first. He gave his life to save us. He poured out his grace and mercy. He's taken us from death to life. He's lifted us out of the pit, removed our sin and shame. He's made us righteous, a new creation. He's set us free. He's rescued, restored, redeemed, forgiven, healed, and adopted us as sons and daughters. See, church, there's always a reason to praise. And when we don't know where we're going, we focus on what we do know. When we're not sure, we look back of all that he has done. Can I keep going? My Bible says he's never failed us. He's never abandoned us. He's never let us go. He's always been with us. He's always been for us. He's always watched over us. It says he's been our peace, our guide, our anchor, our hope, our rest, our refuge, our rock and fortress. He's been our strength, our sustainer, our shield, our shepherd. He's put his spirit within us. He's put us in a family, given us purpose and a life to the full. Come on, church. I reckon now is a great time to pause and praise our God for all he has done. Come on, wherever you are, whether you're nodding in your head, whether you're jumping on your sofa, whether you're shouting aloud or taking a moment of silence, will you passionately praise your God for all he has done? And remind you yourself that, man, my God is faithful. I may feel the breaking, but man, there is still a reason to praise. The Bible says that he's been my firm, and everyone that I've read of these, man, has a personal story and a time in my life. He's been my firm foundation. He's answered our prayers. He's carried us. He's collected all of our tears in his bottle. Wow. Psalm 56, verse 8, he's collected all of our tears in his bottle, which means he's been close enough to catch them, which means he has seen every one of your tears, which means he holds it and none of them go to waste. As he then goes on to say, I will take that mourning and I'll turn it into joyful dancing.
man, for all he has done, how can we not praise? How can we not overflow in thanksgiving as he's been our closest friend? So I heard a story recently of a dad and his five-year-old little girl, and absolutely loved his little girl. And she, her prized possession was this porcelain doll that would be kept on the mantelpiece, a bit of an odd favorite for a young girl, but she absolutely loved it. And every night before bed, they would take it down and she would kiss it and they would put it back. And one day her dad and his five-year-old daughter, they were having a pillow fight and they were running from one room, swinging the pillow back and forward. And at one moment, the little girl managed to sneak around and get her dad right in the side of the head, and he thought, I'm gonna absolutely finish this right now. I'm gonna show my daughter who is boss, who is a daddy. And so he pulled back this pillow to sweep the little girl, and as he pulled it back, he hit this porcelain doll, and as it kind of slow-mo kind of came off the mantelpiece and went to the floor, no moment, and bang, broke into 100 pieces on the floor. The daddy thought, uh-oh. Looked at his little girl who's starting to well up. And he said, oh, no, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. I have a credit card. Don't worry, I'll buy you a new one. And the little girl looked at him tearfully and said, it's okay, daddy, I just want this one. So the next day, the dad brought some super glue. He tried his best in his workshop to put all the pieces back together, but it wasn't quite the same. It was a little bit all over the place and a bit broken. And he brought this doll to his five-year-old daughter and said, here you go. It's not very good. It's a little bit broken. It's not... I will buy you a new one. And she said, yeah, but no, daddy, I've told you, I only want this one. But and her daddy looked at her lovingly and says, but yeah, but this one is broken, my little girl. And his little girl, five-year-old, looked back at her dad and says, even though it's broken, I can still love her. And that's the message of our gospel this morning. Even though we can sometimes feel broken, and maybe it's for one or maybe it's for many. And right now, as I'm preparing this message, I felt the heart of God for you who just feel completely broken right now, completely overwhelmed. You think, man, how can anything go right? How can a God love me? And God's looking at you right now. He sees you. He knows you. He's come close. He's carrying you. And he says, oh, you may be broken, but I love you. I still love you. You're still worth giving my life. And right now, before we go any further, I'd love to give an opportunity if you don't know Jesus. I'd love to invite you into a relationship with Jesus. It's really simple and straightforward. It's not complicated. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, if you believe it and say it, then you will be saved. So right now, if you don't know Jesus, or if you feel like, Josh, in this last little while, my life has just gone absolutely crazy. I feel so far away from God. I feel like I've just been all over the place and I feel so broken. But right now, I want to come back into relationship. I want to know Jesus. And right now, I'd love to pray for you. So I want you to just close your eyes right now as I lead you in a prayer. And as I pray, I want you to just almost echo these words in your heart right now for everyone making this decision. Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you that you came. God, that you sent your son for me. That you didn't stay far off, but you came close. You gave your life. You died on a cross, but yet you rose again. You took all my sin, all my shame, all my wrongdoing, and you took it from me, and you took the penalty. That you died, and now I have an opportunity to have a relationship with you. So I say yes to you, Jesus. I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. My Bible says that all of heaven right now is rejoicing, is praising over that decision you've just made. And in a few moments as I finish, we're going to tell you about a few more steps, because this is not the finish line. This is just the start line of the most incredible faith adventure following Jesus that you could ever make. So just hold on for a minute as I come into land on my third point. That we praise for who he is because he is worthy. We praise always at all times because of everything that he has done, because he is faithful. And finally, we praise for all he's about to do because he is able. My God, he is able. In this season, I've learned that the battle sometimes is only won on your knees. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit. The battle is won on the knees. As many times I've just kind of crashed to my knees, not knowing why, how, when, who, or what, but just, God, I feel the breaking here, but I'm letting this almost this broken praise up out of me to my God, who is always worthy of my praise. Because you see, praise is a weapon, not in our hands, but in our mouths. And when we choose to open up our mouths, again, it reminds us of everything God is, who God is, everything He's done, but also everything that He is able to do. See, I love the three men of God in Daniel chapter 3, who were about to be thrown into the furnace, the fire, for worshiping God and not the other idols and other things that this king was telling them to bow down to. And as the king grabbed them and they were brought to the fiery furnace, I love the faith and the audacity of these three men of God who said, if we get thrown into the fire, if we get to the point of breaking, if it all goes Pete Tong, if it all kind of crumbles away, if that happens, then my God is able. Come on, someone, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how dark it gets, my God is able to save us. But this is the faith declaration of these three men. He is able, He's willing, He wants to, but even if He doesn't, come on, that's a word for someone. Even if He doesn't, on this side of eternity, even if He doesn't, my God is still worthy of praise. He is still worthy of praise. Come on right now, I believe in a miracle working God. I believe my God is able. I believe that right now there's got to be someone in your lounge room that needs to lift up a praise like God is about to heal you. Someone in their car needs to lift up a praise like He's about to provide. Someone in your bedroom right now needs to lift a praise like He's about to save that family member. Come on, someone, Audacious Church, maybe not even in our nation watching right now, needs to give a praise like God is about to, is able, is willing, is wanting to bring the breakthrough for you right now. Come on, why don't we take a praise break right now of 10 seconds and just lift some praise to our God, who is worthy for all He's done, for what He's about to do. My God, for all You're about to do, we give You praise, we give You glory, we give You honor, we give You thanks. Come on, someone right now needs to give a praise that makes the enemy flee, that makes the ground shake, that makes the walls come down, that makes the prison doors fling open. Come on, somebody. He lift a shout of praise with me. See, for some of us, what we need to do right now is just cancel that next thing that's in our calendar or appointment. We need to just say to our husbands or wives, I need to take a praise break. Just give me a minute. Some of you need to go out for a walk, a drive, lock yourself in a room for a minute. Some of you just need to do something right now, straight after this church service, because we haven't got the time. And I wish we had the band right now and we would just tear the roof off this place in praise, but we don't have that right now. But you do. Significant, even when you don't feel like it, it's the most needed, most powerful, most significant, most necessary time. I feel the breaking, yet I will praise. We need to take a praise break every moment. There is always a reason to praise. And as I close, this is what I felt God saying. God's saying, for what I am about to do, Audacious Church, I don't need containers that will keep it for themselves or think they have it all together and think they're all that. But those who know and are aware of their frailty and willing to trust me enough to go through some breaking and some crushing, to allow my treasure, my glory, my gospel, my light to flow out into a sin-darkened world. I don't know about you, but the stuff that I've read and seen over the last few months, it feels like we're in some kind of weird movie. And if there's ever a time that the church needs to be the church, it is right now. See, the church doesn't need another person to just agree about the darkness of the situation, but be told about an incredible Savior. Our world needs the church to be the church, like in Acts 2, that lifted up some praise, who went and stepped into His presence, that there was an exchange of weakness for power, and then straight away out to the people. See, that's what we as a church are about, His presence, His power, and His people. And it says that they all came running as they heard about the goodness of God in their very own relatable, understandable language. See, our world needs a church who will still give Him praise at all times. That world needs a church who is going to be heard and be told about a Savior that can bring them out of where they're at. Can we be that church, that audacious church? that will say, I'll be that container who's broken enough. See, only when something is broken does it allow what's on the inside come out. Let me pray for you right now as we close. God, I want to thank you for everyone watching. Thank you for our church. Wow. God, you are worthy. God, for everything you've done, for your faithfulness in this season, how you've carried us. Lord, you're worthy of praise. For every person feeling like they're at a dead end, like they're breaking right now, I thank you, God, that you are more than able. And I just pray that you'd stir their faith, you'd bring that revelation, your spirit would empower them to lift a praise, that even when they don't feel like it, they praise, they speak about your goodness, your faithfulness, your ability, your power. We know you're about to do something incredible. We stand in faith, ready for it, for all you're about to do. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much.